If you will open up your Bibles this morning we're continuing this little mini series here as we look at some of the attributes or characteristics of our Heavenly Father, and this morning is quite an impactful one. So I truly enjoyed it during the first service. So our scripture reading is in Philippians chapter 2, and we will be reading verses 3 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just this opportunity to come into your house, Lord, to sing praises to your name, to study from your word, Lord. And as we look forward to celebrating just that wonderful Christmas morning of the birth of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we look this morning partially at why exactly he came, Lord, and it was ultimately to humble himself to the point of death and sacrificing himself so that we might have the opportunity to spend eternity with you, Lord, and we are so grateful for that sacrifice. And Lord, we're also thankful for that example, just that pure example of humility, Lord, and just what it means to actually be humble. And we pray this morning that as Pastor Craig delivers this message about humility, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be open to receiving it, Lord, and that pride would not get in the way, Lord, but that we would be greatly affected by it and that we would take this message and not only hear it, Lord, but just live it. And we just pray now for Pastor Craig as he's dealing with a sore throat, Lord. Just help him through this, and may it all be to your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Ron. All right. Well, this morning we are going to talk about the virtue of humility. And because of where we are in our in our calendar year, I think it's a great topic. Because there isn't a greater demonstration of humility than to have the self-existent God of the universe reducing himself to a mere man. God coming to earth in the form of a helpless human baby. In fact, the word humility and the word human are related. All right? God humaned. Humiliated really himself for us. And Christmas is a day set aside in our calendar year to reflect upon that awesome act. That awesome act. So this morning we're going to talk about that virtue of humility and really apply it to our own lives. He not only humiliated himself in that great act and became our Savior as a result, but he gave us an example as well to be humble, to be humble. However, humility is one of those topics that has a tendency to come right around behind us and smack us on the back of the head as we talk about it. It's a dangerous topic. I'm sure you've heard the old joke about the man in church that got a medal of honor for his humility, and then they took it away from him the following week because he proudly wore it. All right. But pride and arrogance, really, it's the opposite of humility. And just to start us off this morning, I want to read a cumulative list that I found through various articles that I read, but all of them described some of the indicators of a believer who might lack humility. Okay, so these were all articles geared toward church, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, but they're indicators of a believer that might lack humility. These are some signs of one who may be suffering what they call spiritual arrogance. All right, so are you ready? All right, protect the back of your head because here it comes. I got a little bit of callus on the back of mine. I've been hit so many times, but signs that one might be suffering from spiritual humility, or excuse me, spirit. All right, I'll blame it on my cold. Spiritual arrogance, suffering from spiritual arrogance. Number one, we spend more time focusing on how other believers are doing it wrong than we do on the things we can improve on. All right, number two, we laugh. Maybe shake our heads at the stylistic differences or deficiencies of others. Number three, we think our worship style is the best way to connect with God. Number four, we're more impressed with numerical church growth than spiritual growth. Number five, we're holding out for an important ministry at church. Number six, we believe the issues that we care about are issues that everyone should care about. Number seven, we allow our way and our preference to become the only way. We actually talked about that one a little bit last week. Number eight, we can't believe anyone would use any other translation of the Bible than ours. Number nine, we think an expert at a conference, because an expert at a conference said it, or that is how our old church did it, it is the best way. Number 10, we use ourselves as the heroic example in spiritual lessons. Number 11, we talk about how humble we are, displaying that badge. Number 12, we joke about how humble we are. Little seed right there in our heart coming out through a joke, perhaps. And if none of those got you, this one probably will. You ready? We thought of other people rather than ourselves as we went through this list. Now, I told you, I warned you that this could be a little bit painful today. And I know that the back of my head was a little bit sore as I prepared this, as I went through these notes. It was a good reminder for me of what spiritual arrogance, or really a lack of humility, can be. And really, to be honest, the words spiritual and arrogance should never appear in a sentence together, okay? They shouldn't appear together. They should be completely separate. And so this morning, that we might gain a proper perspective, maybe a little better perspective of ourselves, we're going to look at how God describes the virtue of humility. So that is our topic. And the very first description of humility that I want to point out this morning is humility is the polar of pride. Okay, they are dead opposites of one another. Humility is the polar of pride. And I want you to go ahead and keep a marker in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to return there shortly. But for a moment, I want you to turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Chapter 8. And we're going to look through a few verses in that book. But we're going to see that really pride is an overinflated view of ourselves. It's a tool really of the devil, and it's hated by God. All right. In fact, in the Screwtape Letters, a book written by C.S. Lewis, there's one point in there where the senior devil urges his young protege to, in the middle of a service, divert his thoughts away from God and instead on the faults of the people around him. In fact, I read about a fellow who, during a Sunday service, found himself distracted at kind of, and even annoyed really at a person who was near him who was singing from his heart, but that was the only quality involved, okay? And as he was thinking that, they immediately went to prayer afterwards, and in that moment he realized certainly the Lord is more pleased with that fellow's heart than he is with mine right now. Well, humility, it's the polar of pride. The words arrogance, arrogant, pride, proud, haughty, they're mentioned a lot in Scripture. Over 200 times. And in almost every case, it is a behavior or attitude hated by God. Let's walk our way through a few Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 13. God says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, I hate." Proverbs 16:5. "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished." Proverbs 16:18. Here's one you're probably all familiar with. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And then Proverbs 21:24. Proverbs 21:24. "A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride." So here really is what pride is. And keep in mind, everything we're going to look at here is the opposite of humility, all right? And we're going to look at how it connects to what we read in Philippians 2. But pride really is selfishness in essence. Okay, pride is selfishness in essence. It is selfish ambition and conceit. It is esteeming ourselves better than others. It is desiring and looking out for our own interests over the interests of others. Pride is selfishness in essence. Pride is displayed in arrogance. Arrogance is nothing less than inner pride outwardly displayed. And that is revealed in a number of ways. I mean, right in our attitude, an arrogant attitude. That might be anger when our plans are upset, wanting revenge, being a poor sport, being silent when our ideas are rejected, sad when we don't get our way, being elated when we do. Pride can be displayed through an arrogant attitude. It can be displayed through arrogant articulation, the words that we say, dominating conversations, talking about ourselves, our families, our likes, our dislikes, our talents. It might be gossiping about others, degrading others, blaming others, complaining about others, being a know-it-all, arguing when we don't get our way, boasting when we do, bragging about how good we are, joking again about how humble we are, going to extremes to sound intelligent, all ways that our words can come across as arrogant. And then there's our actions, arrogant actions, refusing to associate with certain people, avoiding people, judging people, mocking people, holding grudges, getting revenge, strutting and swaggering. I used to work with a fellow who had the most exaggerated swagger I have ever seen in my life. His printing press caught on fire one day, and he swaggered over to put it out. I mean, that's how cool he was. And here I am mocking him, okay? Yeah. Pride is is selfishness in essence. It's displayed in arrogance. But thirdly, pride is treated in vengeance. Think about the verses we just read. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way, the perverse mouth, God hates those. Everyone proud in heart, he says, is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, though they come together and think they can have victory in their arrogance, God says they will not go unpunished. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And humility is the polar of pride. It is opposite of everything we've talked about just now. But secondly, this morning, humility is free from falsehood. Okay? True humility is not faked. It's not faked, yet many try. Many try. Jesus called some of them out in Matthew 6. You don't have to turn there. But he said to them, he says, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. They were trying to fake, really, humility. All right? Well, just because someone says they are humble does not make them humble. In fact, to call ourselves humble is prideful. It smacks us. As soon as the words come out of our mouth, it comes right around behind us and smacks us on the head. Just because someone says they're humble doesn't make them humble. Just because someone acts like they are humble does not make them humble. There are many who act humble for prideful reasons. They pretend to be modest. They do spiritual-looking things. They disfigure their faces when they fast so that everyone will look at them and say, wow, they are so humble. Matthew 6, 17 and 18 goes on, Jesus says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in a secret place, but to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees it in secret will reward you openly. True humility is the polar of pride. It is free from falsehood. And then thirdly, humility is a mindset of meekness. And I'm going to try to quiet my voice down just a little bit so it'll last. Is this raspiness irritating you as much as it is me? All right. I'll keep the water flowing, and I'll talk a little quieter. Humility is the mindset of meekness. It's deliberately assuming a lower view of ourselves for the benefit of others. I don't even know if the TV show is on anymore, but there used to be a show called Undercover Boss. Anybody seen that?
No.
It's still going. Okay, great. It was a great show. I've watched several episodes. But the show, it basically takes either the business owner or an executive within that corporation, and he will disguise himself and go to the lowest job within his business, and he will do that job so he can learn not only the job, the requirements of it, what needs to be done, but so he can be among his employees and know what they're going through and how they feel about the company. And really, it's a great way for him to learn and better meet the needs of his employees. It was a neat show, really neat show, but it stole its idea from Philippians chapter 2. It did. It stole its idea from there. Turn back there if you haven't already. Philippians chapter 2. Because it describes our God humbling himself to be one of us so that he could learn and meet our deepest needs. That really is what Christmas is all about. A little baby. Christ had a mindset of meekness. And if you're in Philippians, let me read to you verses 5 through 7. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Christ had a mindset of meekness, and therefore he actually gave up. He gave up his heavenly position. Verse 6 says that he is the form of God. He held the very position of God, self-existent, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, creator of everything. He gave up his throne in heaven, reduced himself to a helpless, dependent, endangered human infant. Verse 7 says, he made himself of no reputation. You see, from the world's perspective, that day, whatever day of the year it was, 2,000 years ago, it was just another baby being born in the world. That's all it was. Another baby being born in the world. That is a mindset of meekness. Christ gave up his heavenly position. Christ gave up his heavenly prerogative. In becoming a human baby, he gave up the independent use of his godly attributes. The only time he ever exercised his godly attributes was as the Father willed him to do so. He gave up his heavenly prerogative that he had from eternity past. Christ gave up his heavenly physique. He went from spirit to flesh. He went from everywhere present to a specific location. He went from being self-existent to requiring food, sleep, air, and shelter. He went from all-knowing and unchanging to learning and growing. And he did it. He did it for us. Luke 2:11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. He had a mindset of meekness. And Christians, you and I, we need to have a mindset of meekness. Look at verse 5 in that passage. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We must be willing to waive our position at times. That is putting others ahead of ourselves, valuing them above ourselves. It's not all about us. It's not looking out for number one, but looking out for others. We must be willing to waive our position, to be number two, number three, number 10. We must be willing to waive our prerogative. That's a willingness to do what others want to do at times, a willingness to give in to their plans, their ideas. Be willing to waive our prerogative. Be willing to waive our physical needs. Considering the needs and the interests of others with the same importance, the same importance that we consider our own. Verses 3 through 5 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." Humility is deliberately assuming a lower view of ourselves for the benefit of others. A mindset of meekness. But along with that, fourthly this morning, humility is a spirit of subservience. Look at verses 7 and 8 again. "But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." You see, this goes beyond a mindset or a willingness. It's acting upon it now, doing it. I know in a lot of traditional African societies, as they pick their leader, went through and looked at a lot of these nationals, okay? As they picked their leader, there were some requirements. There had to be a lineage requirement. there has to be the fact that will he actually lead us well? But one other thing that they noticed throughout African tribes, throughout traditional African societies, is they looked for people, these men, these leaders, that would serve. They were servants as well. Well, Jesus is a king. In John 18:37, Pilate asked Jesus, "You're a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly I'm a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth." But Jesus was also a servant. In John chapter 13, in the upper room, the night of Jesus' arrest, he washed the feet of his disciples. He demonstrated humble servanthood. Christ had a spirit of subservience. He was not only born to be king, but Christ was born to be a servant, and he was a servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Christ was born to be submissive, and he was submissive. He said, "I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Christ was born to be a sacrifice, and he was a sacrifice. He gave himself, his life, a ransom for many. Christ was born to be our substitute, and he was our substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." He made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He had a spirit of subservience. And Christians, you and I, must have a spirit of subservience. If you're still in Philippians, go ahead and turn and look at verses 14 and 15 of chapter 2. It says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." It is us understanding that there is no job, no ministry, no service that is too low for us to do. John 13:13-15 says, "You call me teacher and Lord. You say well, for so I am." This is Jesus speaking. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Humility is the polar of pride. It is free from falsehood. It is a mindset of meekness with a spirit of subservience. And then lastly, and in closing this morning, humility is a proper perspective of ourself, or really a proper self perspective. Okay, I found this photo online, and I think it illustrates our point pretty well. A proper self-perspective is necessary. Okay, humility is a proper self-perspective, and it's necessary, first of all, for salvation. Only when we realize the dire, sinful state that we are in will we stop thinking that we can do it ourselves. Only when we realize that God offers salvation will we humbly receive it by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us." That is humility. A proper self-perspective is necessary for salvation, and a proper self-perspective is necessary for sanctification. Only when we let go of pride can God help us. Only when we humble ourselves before our Lord will He help us. Only when we humble ourselves before our Lord will He use us. Proverbs 3:34 says, "Surely He scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble." In Luke 11:14, Jesus said, "For whoever exalts himself, whoever holds on to pride, will be humbled. And he who humbles himself, lets go of pride, will be exalted." And without a proper self-perspective, he could die. He could die. That is how the Bible describes humility. That is what Christmas really is all about. It is God reaching down to man to save him from sin and pride. And Lord willing, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more next week. But I pray that through these descriptions, these biblical descriptions of humility, perhaps we've gained a little better perspective of ourselves, and we know better now what to do with our pride and who to cling to. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word to us, that the perfect demonstration of humility given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for that gift that was given so long ago. The fact that the creator of the universe humaned himself, humiliated himself by becoming one of us, that he might learn not only our deepest needs, but provide for our deepest needs. Thank you for the example that he set through his life. The example, really, that should be inside of us, displayed as well on the outside to all those around us, that we might be the light of Christ to everybody that we encounter. I pray through this next week, as we spend time with friends and families, we spend time perhaps with coworkers, as we spend time with people in stores shopping, Lord, that we would be that light, that the humility truly, the humility of Christ would shine through our words, our attitudes, and even our actions. Thank you this morning for it, and it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our closing song this morning will be familiar to you, but it's going to be done a little bit differently. So if you are the type that usually does hand